Hi, David. Thank you for playing that video, and I want everyone to remember that 2 weeks from today is National Back to Church Sunday. Y'all remembered that, right? 2 weeks from today. The theme for this year is hope happens here. Do you know somebody who could use a little hope? I bet you do. What a great time it is to have a real conversation with them and invite them to come and see that hope, real hope, which us as followers of Jesus is not just a wish, not just a daydream, but a true and confident expectation, right, Joe? Confident expectation is what he always taught us that hope means. And that's the kind of hope that carries us through the regrets of yesterday, the hurts and the sadness of today and the unknowns of tomorrow. That kind of hope is something we want to share, right? So 2 weeks from today, September the 18th, invite someone to come to church with you. You can do it any Sunday, but that's a special one. So anyway, okay. So we've had three versions of 23rd Psalm today. I'm not sure which one I like the best. It might be the Cajun one, or it might be the one we just sang. I don't know, but it's good. I wish I was preaching on that today. That would have been cool, but we've already done that. Because this year, our theme is back to basics, you know? We've been looking at a lot of matters that are foundational aspects of our faith, fundamental to being followers of Jesus. And finally, 2 weeks ago, finally, we got around to looking at baptism. But about all we were able to cover on that subject 2 weeks ago was just kind of the definition. Remember? We learned that, unlike a lot of the other things we've been looking at in our Bibles about these back-to-basics things, The English word that we look at is a translation of a Greek word used by the original writers, right? And we looked at ekklesia, which is church. Y'all remember that? And we looked at koinonia, which is fellowship, and all these other great definitions there. But when we see the word baptize in our English Bibles, what we're seeing is not a translation of a Greek word. It's a transliteration, a transliteration. And that means that the scholars who were preparing our English Bibles from the original manuscripts or the ancient Greek manuscripts, they simply took the Greek word that they found there, baptizo, and changed it to kind of sound like an English word, baptize. And we talked a little bit about why they might have done that rather than simply translating it, because that Greek word does in fact have well-known meaning. It means to dip, to immerse, to submerge. In fact, this word baptizo was commonly used in the first century to describe the act of dipping a cloth to make it a different color, dipping it into dye to make it a different color. The cloth would go into the dye one color, typically white, would come out a different color. And as they were doing it, they would say, I'm going to baptizo this piece of cloth and make it a beautiful purple or whatever. By saying the word baptizo, everybody knew that they were not saying, I'm going to sprinkle a few drops of dye on this cloth. They know that they were going to dip it, submerge it, immerse it completely. And by doing that, change the cloth completely. And so for us, baptism implies a very similar action. We go into the water and we come out changed. We come out changed. We come out different. Not just wet. And not just a little different. But completely different. The Apostle Paul describes it this way. So that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. What is old has passed away. Look, what is new has come. New creation. Suddenly, if such a thing could be measured by a scientific instrument of some kind, it would be clear that the person who's just been baptized is not even really human anymore. They've now become some kind of strange combination of human occupied by deity. The Holy Spirit takes up residence in the heart of the baptized people at that moment. Just as Peter promised, all of you must turn away from your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and then your sins will be forgiven. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what happens when we're baptized. Our baptism is the moment when we take off our connections with the old worldly way of life and clothe ourselves with Jesus, just like Paul says here. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God by believing in Christ. This is because all of you who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You have put Him on as if He were your clothes. And then we begin living a Jesus way of life. Remember, it's a new way. It's a new way of life. So let's just think, let that sink in for just a second. It may perhaps be a little bit different than the way we've kind of thought about it before. Maybe we saw baptism as that moment when we obtain forgiveness, when we obtain our ticket to heaven, and we obtain God's grace, and now we can start being nice to people. Or nicer to people. But that's not the vision of baptism that we see in the Bible. That's much too small of a vision for someone who is a new creation. Much too small of a vision for someone who has taken off everything that tied him or tied her to the old way of life and has put on Christ, as it says here. It's much too small of a vision for someone who, in a very mysterious spiritual way, is now Christ. More than saying, I want to go to heaven when we come forward, get nudged out into the aisle, when we come forward and say, I want to be baptized. More than saying, I want to go to heaven, we're really saying, we want to be a part of what God is doing to heal this broken world. We're saying we want the Jesus story, which is still unfolding, to become our story. This is our story. This is our song. We just sang it. Steve just talked about that in our communion. In the song that preceded communion, we become part of this story. And then in baptism, we're not just saying, okay, now I can live a good life and that's all there is to it. No, we're saying we're not just living for ourselves anymore. We're not living at all for ourselves anymore. We're living for others. We're living for our church family. And a church community isn't held together because we figured it all out. It's held together because we who've been baptized have said yes to Jesus when He asks, will you join me? Will you join me in changing the world? That's what we're saying yes to. Now, did I know all that when I was baptized all those years ago? Did you? I know I didn't. I didn't know all of that. But that doesn't mean that my baptism all those years ago was any less effective. We grow after we're baptized. That's when we start to grow finally. And it's part of our learning to live the Jesus life. It's part of the maturing process. And it's why all these letters in the Bible were written by Paul and Peter and James and all those guys. It's written to people like me and like you who have already been baptized and who now needed to learn what it meant to live as a baptized person. Baptism is the way we not only say, I want to be forgiven, but we're also saying, I want to be a part of a forgiving community. I want to be part of a community that projects God's forgiveness to others. To other people who are out there trapped in shame, shame of broken relationships, shattered lives. Baptism is the way we say, use me. Use me, Lord. Use me in your plan to make the world right. And that's a lot. And it's all wonderful. It's all amazing. But before we get the wrong idea and think that baptism is like, oh, I don't know, chugging a spiritual Red Bull and getting us all pumped up, going out in our own strength, Paul reminds us that it's just the opposite of that here in Romans. Did you forget that all of us became part of Christ when we were baptized? We shared His death in our baptism. When we were baptized, we were buried with Christ and shared His death. So just as Christ was raised from the dead by the wonderful power of the Father, we can also live a new life. Christ died, and we have been joined with Him by dying too. To become that new creation, to become that new creature, that strange creature that's part human and occupied by deity, we have to die. The old has to die first. We're called to die before we can receive the new life. And then the power to live that new life comes from the Holy Spirit living within us, not from us. So again, we can see why baptism by immersion, like we saw in the video earlier, baptism by immersion is such a beautiful picture of what is happening. The plunge under the water is like a death. Being surrounded completely by the water for a moment is like being buried. And then coming out of the water, taking that first breath of air again, very much like a resurrection. We stand up a new creation. What a beautiful reenactment of the gospel. Baptism is a reenactment of the gospel. And please, please don't be tricked by those people who claim that the churches of Christ don't understand grace, that the churches of Christ teach salvation by works because we point out the necessity of baptism. And they claim that that's something you do. That's a work that you do to earn your salvation. Have y'all heard that? People say that? Baptism is not something that we do. Baptism is not a work that we do. Baptism is something that we submit to. Baptism is something that is done to us. It's done for us. And in baptism, we surrender ourselves. We surrender ourselves to someone in trust. Very much like Jesus when He surrendered Himself to all the things that they were going to do to Him. Trusting that God would bring Him back. That God would raise Him up out of that grave. So no, it's those people who say that baptism is a work that don't understand what baptism really is. And so, when we sit and think about what is actually happening in that moment of baptism, I hope we're seeing that it is a majestically holy and sacred moment. The Trinity together, present, focused on the one being baptized, God offering grace, Christ being put on, the Holy Spirit taking residence in our hearts. You know, the early church, they look back at the story of the moment of Jesus' baptism. And they took that as a picture of what happens in every baptism. You're going to hear a little bit more about that next week in a lesson that I really hope you're going to come to, because one of my Facebook friends is going to talk to us about baptism in a great way. So I hope you'll make plans to be here next week for that. But y'all remember what happened at Jesus' baptism, right? When John the Baptist baptized Jesus. Jesus was coming up out of the water. Just then he saw heaven being torn open. Jesus saw the Holy Spirit coming down on him like a dove. A voice spoke to him from heaven, and it said, "You are my son, and I love you. I am very pleased with you." Well, the early church was convinced that this very thing happens at every baptism. And not just the Spirit coming to live with us. They thought that God was speaking from heaven to the person being baptized, saying, "You are my son, you are my daughter, and I love you, and I'm very pleased with you." Sacrilege, maybe? No, not at all. So he, meaning the Lord, decided to long ago to adopt us. He adopted us as his children with all the rights children have. He did it because of what Jesus Christ has done, and it pleased God to do it. We've been adopted as children into the family of God. We are his heirs. We are co-heirs with his son Jesus. And we know he loves us, for God so loved the world that he gave to us. That's my son. I can hush him. Y'all know that. No, he's getting into it. He's getting into it. So God loves us. He's certainly pleased when we take that step of commitment that he's asked us to take in baptism. Now, we like to say that the churches of Christ are part of what we call the American Restoration Movement. Y'all have heard me talk about that a little bit, right? The American Restoration Movement, which means that we're part of a movement of disciples who are trying to restore biblical, simple biblical discipleship, simple biblical worship, kind of like they think the things they did in the first century. We're trying to restore that. We're working on that. But since that's our DNA, if you will, wouldn't that be a practice that we might want to restore at every baptism? Wouldn't it be wonderful if the newly born again brother or sister, as they were coming out of the water, could be reminded that God is saying this right now, in front of all of the mighty angels and the rejoicing saints? "You, David, are my son. You, Beverly, are my daughter. You, all of us, are my son and daughter. And I love you. And I'm so very pleased with you." That would not only be amazing for the newly baptized person, it would be another reminder for those of us who are watching, witnessing the baptism of our own baptisms and of our own place in the family of God, in our own place in the unfolding story. Jesus. And you know, the more I think about this holy, sacred moment of baptism, and the more I think about what is taking place before our very eyes as we witness a baptism, I mean, the Father, Son, and Spirit joining together in the water in the miracle of salvation, in the miracle of new creation. The more I think about what we're watching there, the more I think that the most appropriate posture for those of us watching is on our knees. Maybe with our hands up, witnessing such a moment.
Anything we can do for you, let us know while we stand and sing.